You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, y'all. It's Amir Yesai with the Take On for the Broadway Podcast Network. Hi, lovelies. It's Amir Yesai with the Take On, and we're back with my good friend, Jane Johnson. Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
Hi, Amir. So excited to just take on this pod with you.
Yes. Oh, my God. Me and Jane are in the trenches hosting together, doing stand-up. I mean, you do so much. You do your own comedy night. You're such a great host. You've interviewed some amazing people, lots of Bravo celebrities, lots of celebrities. You are really one of the hardest working people I know. We kind of encourage each other to always be on that beat of pop culture and really kind of know what's going on in the world. I wanted to ask you, what's like one of the most delicious like pop culture things right now? We have a lot going on, you know, with Lea Michele, the Kardashians, you know, Kanye running for president. There's so many things. What's something that you're just like, oh, this is too good to be true?
I mean, yes, there's so much going on to the point where it's a little bit of a sensory overload. You know, you kind of got to rake through that muck. I escaped to the woods for a little because I just couldn't handle it all. But Fourth of July, when Kanye came out saying that he was going to run for president. I mean, this is the moment that we have known about. It's been teased at, what was that, the VMAs in like 2016 when he said he was going to run for president. Yep. And what we've learned is that when a narcissistic reality star says that they're going to run for president, you need to just believe them. You need to just believe
them. Learned it the hard way.
And know that it's going to happen. And it seems like, you know, if Elon Musk joins that ticket, then we're going to create a whole new country in space. So I'm for it because, you know, Kanye is outwardly crazy and Trump tries to deny his crazy. So if we can just get a lunatic in office that at least owns it, then we're making some progress.
There you go. I like that. At least we know what we get with Kanye, where I feel like Donald Trump's kind of hiding his crazy. At least with Kanye, we kind of know what we're getting. And remember, I feel like behind every great man, there's a better woman. And I think that Kim K could be one of the best, you know, nothing like Michelle Obama, but I think she'd be a great first lady. I mean, I think Kim could really handle that job.
I mean, none of these options are good. So I just, at least Kim will get like five people out of jail every year.
True. That is true. That is very true. And, you know, imagine the Kardashian, Keeping Up with the Kardashians filming in the White House. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? In the Lincoln bedroom, we have a fight between Khloe and Kim. I mean, come on. That's epic.
Ryan Seacrest is probably just jerking off to photos of Kim in the White House right now. He's going to be so loaded.
He probably
so
is.
So loaded from all this.
Oh, my God.
It's like,
it's such good press. Every time we think it's the last season for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, they do some shenanigans and you're like, wait a second, they have to come back for another season. Like, it's crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I hope, I mean, obviously we got what, 6 episodes out of Kardashians this year, this season. And then quarantine hit and everything hit the fan and Scott like abandoned us to go to rehab. And I hope that they cover that because, you know, they do normally cover everything, but yeah, that's so wild. Like someone found him in in a Zoom meeting from rehab or something and leaked it. Could you imagine?
Oh my God, the audacity, the audacity.
Expose someone like that. Let Scott live. Let Scott live. But let's keep them all out of the White House as well. Let's just try to go with Chris Cuomo. That's my actual, I would like Chris Cuomo to follow in his brother's footsteps, become governor, and then be our president. Because Andrew Cuomo is obviously on the little black book list of Epstein, allegedly. So let's go with the hotter one. I'm Cuomo-sexual.
Listen, I always go the hotter one. I like that. I'm down with that. Janie, I wanted to ask you about Epstein Island. Okay, so there's all this, like, a lot of alleged stuff around, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's island, travel logs, and kind of this hedonistic island. And, you know, Woody Allen was on the flight logs, and apparently Bill Gates and him partying, and all these celebrities were a part of it. And it's like his little black book is kind of being leaked everywhere. What are your thoughts about all of this? It's kind of crazy.
It is so crazy. And did you see the whole like Wayfair conspiracy about child trafficking with Wayfair? Yeah. And they denied that. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Like apparently Wayfair was selling these like chest of drawers for like $10,000. And they were named after like kids where if you Google them on some Russian website, they're like children who are available for like naked photo. I don't even.
Oh my God. I literally just bought something from Wayfair and it arrived today.
It was so multi-layered. And then of course, you know that like Amir and I really do get excited about all of these like Ellen conspiracy theories and things on Twitter. And so now Ellen's getting questioning for her Wayfair partnership. During the conspiracy theory, but Wayfair came out and denied that. They're like, no, we're just trying to like name chest of drawers after people, and they have no connection to little naked children.
Wow. What is going on in the world? And then the whole Oprah sex trafficking thing, and then Ellen sex trafficking and being on house arrest. And there's so much, like, I feel like the world, like there's this organization called QAnon, and there's like kind of spreading these conspiracy theories, and the whole Epstein Island is one of their things as well. And I'm like, I was diving deep and I was like, I probably shouldn't be on this website right now.
Oh my God. There was one night in quarantine when the little black book got leaked when Anonymous was doing all of their like crazy stuff online, and they released the little black book of his. Oh God. And it was like 4 a.m. I had insomnia just like reading through all the list of names. I was like, oh, Naomi Campbell? Oh my God.
Yeah, well, like, I think it's a lot of it's like
age. Sun comes up. Like, this is not healthy.
Oh my God, that's amazing, Jane. And I think a lot of these celebrities kind of like, a lot of times it's like their handlers that are like, oh, you're going to go to this amazing, luxurious island. And they don't really like, celebrities don't question a lot. So like, if their people tell them to go, they're like, sure. So now they're getting caught up in this whole thing. And it's like, uh-oh.
Well, you know, in LA, it's like I have those friends who are like, yeah, in my early 20s, like I was just going on private planes to the Bahamas with these men. And like, that's just LA. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry. I was like working in advertising at that time. I had no exposure to these like random private planes going on trips to islands. That could have been nice. But
that would have been nice. But nobody asked me.
Hindsight, I'm glad that, you know, I wasn't boarding jets with rich people and getting wrapped up in their little book. But yeah, the Yolanda thing was insane. Hiding, I keep thinking her name is Ghislaine, which would be fitting, but yeah. It's
what
I
is her name? Ghislaine.
Ghislaine. Something Ghislaine. French. Ghislaine. but yeah, she was hiding on the ranch, which also like Gigi and Bella were there taking photos for Vogue. So were they just like splitting bread with Ghislaine having brats on the 4th of July? Like what are they doing on that farm over there?
Well, again, this is alleged. Yolanda's denied this, but then now there's pictures of Luann with Ghislaine too. So it's like Luann De Lesseps from Roni. So it's kind of like, what is going on? Ghislaine must have worked her way into all these social circles. I really don't understand.
Was very much invested. And I mean, we just hope that she lives to tell the tale of everything that went down so that we can finally have some more closure on all of this instead of just alleged speculation. But obviously, I watched that four-part documentary on Epstein, and it was just so sad what everyone had to go through, you know. It was really, really tragic. And, you know,
very dark.
It's very dark. And the fact that the island is so gorgeous, like probably, I mean, that island is beautiful, but it's such a dark place for them. So, I mean, now I have to abandon loving that color scheme of the white and blue with the ocean side. It's no longer
You can like another island. You can like
it's
another
no
island.
Longer
another
a vibe. That, yeah, it's like the Santorini look is now so faux pas. And I don't like that.
Yeah. I love that this human trafficking circle has affected your aesthetics, Jane.
Oh my God. I matched with this guy and he texted me a photo of his pool and it was like the same color scheme. And I was like, should I not go now? This white and blue
You're too
pool.
Much.
I was
You're
like,
too much.
It's just too much.
I mean,
what was that, a lighter guard out there?
You are too much. I mean, listen, you're going with your gut, and you know what? I'm sure in a couple months things will pass, and I'm sure you'll go back to loving that Santorini scape, you know? I'm sure things will go back to normal. I wanted to ask you on a lighter note, I've been watching these reaction videos with Whitney Port and her husband that you put me onto, and I'm flabbergasted as to how good it is. And I'm on episode 18 and I'm like rewatching these episodes with them and it's quite engaging. Can you tell us a little bit about these reaction videos?
Oh my God. The rabbit holes that I've been down in quarantine are limitless. The limit does not exist. I got obsessed with rewatching The Hills. Then I moved on to rewatching The City, which is pretty niche, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
The MTV show from, what was it, like 2009 with Whitney Port in The City in New York.
So old.
Rolling around with socialites and so I've been watching her reaction videos, rewatching the series with her husband, Timmy. And I love Timmy's sense of humor. He's very funny and they're so cute together and they're just like couple goals. So I watch it sort of mostly just to manifest. I've already rewatched all of The City, so I don't need to rewatch The City itself, but just their rapport is so cute. And they talk about how they were like falling in love behind the scenes on set. So I like getting a little sense of the behind the scenes nostalgia from them.
Yes. I mean, that's kind of why I was watching it too. It's always nice. And I remember there was one scene where he was like in the background and it's like, oh, like, I love that. Like he was like at a party, just like working and, you know, kind of falling for her in some ways. It's really, and it's also really nice to, especially us being reality TV junkies, it's so nice to see the evolution of a villain, like the way that they kind of made Olivia this villain, and even like Whitney feels sorry for her. It's like they added some words and, you know, ADR'd some stuff. What were your thoughts about like Olivia kind of not really that much of a villain? Because when I watched it the first time, I was like, she sucks.
I don't even know, because I do feel like some of it had to have been true, but it seemed like in those times with reality TV, they would just like do whatever they could to mess with the talent. Like producers would just do these ridiculous things. And I don't necessarily know if it's exactly like that anymore, but like a decade ago, I feel like if they wanted to make you into a villain, they would, and they would do things to really amp up the drama. And so I think from their behind the scenes reactions, it's interesting that like they were talking about how producers probably put this in her ear or that in her ear. And she felt at a certain point, especially in season two, like they were just coming for her and she didn't really want to be a part of the way that they were skewing her. And so that's why in a lot of scenes, she would just get up and walk out, when really it made her look worse that she would just abandon a conversation before it even began, because it was like, oh, wow, this girl really doesn't know how to deal with conflict and she doesn't like being attacked. So, yeah, it was interesting. But I also went down a rabbit hole on that because I was learning more about the socialite scene in New York. And apparently our dear Tinsley Mortimer from Real Housewives of New York was the predecessor for Olivia Palermo in the socialite scene. And that was back in those days when they had one of those websites that was basically documenting all of the social scene in New York at the time. And it was around the time that I was in college and my sister was in college and there was Juicy Campus and then it turned into College ACB. But that was, blogs were created for people to anonymously just troll each other and write random gossip pieces about each other. And
yeah, USC had that too.
And that got really dirty really quick. But I think it must have stemmed from the New York socialite scene. And that's what Gossip Girl was based off of. And that's why Tinsley had her own cameo as herself on Gossip Girl, because it was kind of based around her and even Olivia Palermo.
Interesting. Wow, that's like a really good tea. And I remember Tinsley, even though obviously that show bred a lot of famous people like Penn Badgley and Blake Lively, Tinsley was like a big get for Gossip Girl to have her on there, because she was like really famous. Like even when she's on Roni, people are like, who is she? And I'm like, she was the utmost like A-list socialite in New York.
Yeah, she was the it girl. The it girl.
It was like Vogue. I mean, it was like, she was like really kind of created that quintessential socialite vibe.
It's a very interesting article. I think it's in the New Yorker, and man, it was a read. It probably took me like 20 minutes to get through. It was long, and I loved learning every little detail. Amir, that website at USC, did they ever write about you on it?
That's such a good question. Such a Jane question. No, I was such a good Muslim boy. I was like not even dating, and I was like barely drank. I was like so good. So I was in my little Muslim dorm. Believe it or not, USC had a Muslim dorm, honey, and I was there. You know, and so I was definitely staying in my lane, but I had a lot of friends who were in there, and they will slut shame you. They will write your full name out. I mean, it was a burn book of all burn books. There was this one girl, and at the time she had 1,000 Facebook friends. And imagine 1,000 friends was like having 1,000,000 friends today. And she would walk around campus, you know, and just own it. And she, like, they would rip her apart. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
I don't know who was writing in there and who was managing it, but it was the predecessor for Perez Hilton for sure.
Well, yeah, anyone could write in there. There was one time someone wrote out of nowhere, Jane Johnson has a rectal prolapse. And I had to look up what it meant because I had no idea. I was like, what is this? And then I looked it up and it was like something where you can't control your muscles back there. And I was
it's called a pink. The nice version, Jane, is a pink sock. That's a pink sock.
Yuck. Yeah. So someone wrote that about me and I was like, what the hell? And obviously one of my friends who just loves starting drama, like texted me immediately and was like, check this out on College ACB. And I was like, you wrote this, didn't you? But he denied it. So you couldn't delete anything on that site. So then it was at the time of the royal wedding of Kate Middleton. And so I just like bombarded that site, posting a bunch of comments about the royal wedding.
So smart, Jane. That's
so that
smart.
My comment would go to like the second and third page. So I just posted all this stuff about the royal wedding. And then someone commented on there, like one of my good friends, we'll call her Becky. They were like, Becky looks like Kate Middleton. I'd blah, 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 like saying all this random shit about all the stuff that they would do to her sexually. And then they all start just going in on this girl. And I was like, oh no, now I started this. And then eventually I just had to log off the site because I was like, this is too much. But that was the only bad thing that was ever said about me. I did have some good things said about me, but good. You know. I mean, I had to Google what it was, so there wasn't any truth to it. So I had to barrage the site with just random info about the royals.
Oh, poor Jane having to look up rectal prolapse, not knowing what it is. I love that.
I know, I'm not a gay muscle man like you.
No, you don't know these things. So you don't. You, if you're in the gay community, you would definitely know what a pink sock is. So, I love that. Listen, the first kind of moments where I really started to fall in love with you was when I saw some of your roast battles. And then, you know, you obviously host your own night with Birdbath Comedy, and like being a fierce female comedian, you have a partner and you guys are like killing it. Talk to me a little bit about taking up a very stereotypically white het, you know, kind of space, like just run by like straight white males in hoodies. How did you infiltrate that space and kind of like take over and like do your own thing?
It's oh my God. Impressive. I mean, there are so many female comedians out there that, all just want to be referred to as comedians. And so, I mean, it's kind of frustrating that it even needs to be a conversation, but inherently, you know, we're often talking about things from our own POV and our own perspective as a female. So, you know, that's part of it. And I feel like in LA and New York, especially, it's very, it is more commonplace for a lot of women to be in the scene here, and a lot of BIPOC, a lot of LGBTQ talent. Like, it's a huge melting pot. But when you go to other cities, it's less common. And I mean, even here, there is still stuff. Like, it would just be very often that, you know, you'd go to a show or a mic or whatever it is, and someone would be there just sizing you up. Like, some dude would be there sizing you up. Like, oh, how long? That's the worst question is, like, how long have you been doing comedy for? Because they want to see if you just got on the lineup because you've been doing it for like 6 months and you blew somebody. Like, it's just, it's the most condescending question that you could be asked from a male comic is, how long have you been doing this for? They're sizing you up immediately. And then the most satisfying thing is to go up and kill, and then for them to go up and completely bomb. That's always what's cool.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That must feel so good to be like, fuck off, dude.
Because they're asking that question because they're insecure. And so that just always is like really annoying to get. And I did do some shows. What was it, like February in Chicago? And I had done shows in Chicago before, but for whatever reason, the most recent time that I went there to do shows, I was at a mic, and then I did some sets at the Laugh Factory. And I don't know, because I'm from Chicago, so I'm very, you know, familiar with Chicago itself. But for whatever reason, that trip, I kept getting all these crazy male hecklers just like screaming things when I was on stage. And it's like they had never seen a woman do comedy before, or like they were so against it and just like had no idea how to handle themselves. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like, it's 2020, get over it. And the mic that I was doing was, the mic that I was doing was at some bar, and it was just like some guy sitting at the bar, just so jaded and upset, watching like car commercials, just screaming at me. And I was like, oh my God, get a life, dude. It's like a Tuesday and you have nowhere to be but here alone at the bar. So I don't know. It's always,
you know, loser.
Yeah. So I don't remember what I said, but I roasted him from stage and put him in his place.
I love that. You need to.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You roasted me with something really amazing. What was it? You said I had the attention span of a child star. What was it? It was really good.
I said Amir has the professionalism. Or no. Oh my God. I said Amir has the demeanor of a child star, but the professionalism of Lindsay Lohan and Mykonos, bitch.
It's so true. For anyone that knows me, knows that's very true. It's so accurate.
It's so good. Amir is amazing.
I love it. Oh, thank you, Janie. I think when you roast people, you have to really not only be secure in yourself and kind of be very self-aware, which you are, and then you're able to like, what's the trick to roasting? Like a lot of people are like, oh, it just seems mean, but it's very calculated. It's not just about being mean.
Yeah.
Like you have to be funny.
Well, for Roast Battle in particular, that's the show mm-hmm. that is at the Comedy Store that they have a deal on Comedy Central, and they do all of the celebrity roasts and all that. I mean, Jeff Ross has like built an empire. Mm-hmm. So
He really has.
Yeah. So I was getting into that scene before everything shut down. So currently undefeated with the roasts, but
love it.
Yeah, so that was really fun for me to do because a lot of it is just so so ridiculous and out there, and it's a really great way to own your own faults or insecurities, is just have other people who you trust just rip on them and then go at people. Mm-hmm. It's very oddly therapeutic to just like attack people with your words and have them attack you back. Like it's a really bizarre thing because then you laugh so hard at what clever thing your friend came up with. And then it's like, oh, I literally don't feel like I'm insecure about that thing anymore. It's really strange. But I loved that so much. And basically the whole kind of trick to that is that it's about word economy. So you want to mm-hmm. basically throw a punch with your words. So if you're writing a paragraph that you're going to recite about somebody, about how much they suck, it's not going to pack the same punch as if it's like a 10 word or less joke. So word economy is really important in roast battles so that people just get it immediately and are shocked by it and laugh, and then you're on to the next thing. So with that, you kind of, for the most part, sort of write out your offense, at least, you know, in the stage I was at, I was writing out my offensive lines. And then you think of all the stuff about you that could be on the chopping block and they could attack you for. So you got to get really self-aware to be like, oh, this is all the stuff about me that sucks. And then you can start to think about what your retorts would be if they came at you for that. And especially in the context of battling that person, what about them could make for a good line or a good joke in response. And then from there, you can kind of plan out when you're going to say which offensive moves, but you have no idea when you're going to have to retort with whatever defensive moves. So it in that sense is very much like a comedic debate. Like I never did debate team, but I feel like that's how it felt planning for it was like, this is a debate about who sucks more.
You really are the roast master, honestly, with that info. And I love the word economy. That's like really smart because a lot of people kind of, they just try to talk a lot and kind of like zone everyone out. But like, if you say something impactful in like one sentence, it's a lot better. That's great.
Yeah, it's ultimately a writing showcase. And so, I mean, you have to write so many jokes just to be able to have like three solid ones or five solid ones because you just test them out and see what works over and over. And then you really need to bring in just like those super strong punches that you know will work, because it's a high pressure cooker environment when you have
right.
a bunch of white male judges making fun of you for being someone who has tits. Like, it's just there's no rules in that space, and so you do kind of have to bring on you were asking about other tips. You have to kind of bring in a little bit of an aggro energy and say your jokes in a way that, like, you know they will kill. So that's something that I learned from doing that, is just like the importance of being more meticulous with writing and then delivering them in a way that it's like, I know that this is hilarious. That's what I kind of learned from the battle. And then also obviously being able to adapt to what was said. So you kind of get to work on your crowd work. I got into a space where I was starting to just like do that with the audience, especially at my Birdbath show. I would just roast the audience members up top, and that was really fun.
That's really fun. That's like the true art of a good comedian, is someone that can do crowd work and kind of play with the audience. And that I'm always in awe of that, because it looks so natural. And it's like, I know it's not. It's like something that you have to work at.
Yeah. I mean, that's the funny part about it, because you have to kind of couch it so that it looks like you're coming up with it on the top of your head. But I would go to our show in West Hollywood, Birdbath, and see the audience filing in and just sort of like pick on a few people and write some jokes down before I go up there and then just fire them off. So the practice of writing for roast battle really helped me, and watching and studying, like bumping mics with Jeff Ross and Dave Attell is really good at that. They really are so good at it because they have so much practice that they're really rattling them off. But there are, even for those kind of jokes, there are sort of formulas, almost like just setups, you know, like if you're here, then who's working at Starbucks? Or if you're here, then who's working at the Supreme store on Third, you know, or like there's certain things like that. Like, did you just come from a blank convention? Just like stuff like that, that you can kind of mix and match, that they've sort of set the outline for, that I feel like if you watch enough of their roasts, there are certain patterns that you can kind of find.
Absolutely. And it's like, I think for a lot of people that don't understand comedy, they're like so impressed by that. Oh my God, you worked at Starbucks, and they like, it really gets people going.
Yeah.
So it's a good setup. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
The best,
I wanted to ask you.
The best is like when you're performing and just something magical happens. Like, I always love when there's like a group of just like basic white girls with their wine glasses. And then like, they're just watching the show, and all of a sudden one of their alarms goes off, and you just know it's their birth control alarm, and you could just go in on them for that. Like, just stuff like that where, you know, after doing it for a while, it's just those kind of moments where they're like, wow, you just ripped on me for being a sexually active Starbucks bitch. And it's so funny, because it takes one to know one, you know?
Right. And it's not coming from like, like, it comes from a good place, and it's like rooted in just being funny and not mean, you know? And it's like, people respond to that. People can tell the difference, you know? And that's what I appreciate about your comedy. It's always on the line of being like, you know, you've roasted friends of ours, and it's like, they can't hang, you know? But like, you always know who can hang, you know?
Yeah. And for the most part, like, if you're going to a comedy show and sitting there in the front row, like, you're probably down to be roasted. And that's just, I just started to love that part of it. And that's why I love the live experience. And it sucks that it's not really a thing right now. Everything I'm doing is shut down right now, but you know, it's all good. It's all good, baby.
It's all good, baby. But talking about things you are doing, you've been doing a lot of amazing interviews with Bravo celebrities in quarantine. What is one of your favorite interviews? And why?
Oh my God.
You've done some really cool
ones.
What's
so funny is, like, I have done a lot of interviews, as have you, Amir. You do all these amazing Bravo celebrity interviews and beyond. So many people from Netflix and MTV and, you know, anyone that you guys Thank love, you. Amir has interviewed them. I've been focusing a lot on the Bravo stars. Amir and I were on a panel together commenting on Summer House, and that crew was so fun. Yep. So I loved getting to interview Paige. And then, you know, having the first interviews with like a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills was fun. I talked to Sutton Strack. But surprisingly, my favorite interview so far that I totally geeked out over was the guest star on Roni this year, who's been recurring on Real Housewives of New York, Martin Snow. He's the boxing coach for Tinsley and Leah. And I mean, when I tell you, I get so inspired by the most random sources. Like, well, I shouldn't say that about Martin because he's so incredible, but Billy Ray Cyrus, for example, for me, that's kind of random to find a deep amount of inspiration from that man. But he,
that is pretty random.
he was on Miley Cyrus's, Instagram Live Bright-Minded when she was doing it in quarantine. And the things that he was saying spoke to me so deeply at that moment. I think I was just going through all, I was just going through it like everybody else. And he was just so inspiring, being like, I've read one book in my life.
I heard that. I was like, what?
And it's How to Think and Grow Rich. And I was like, I'm going to read that book because Billy Ray Cyrus has read one book about getting rich and he got rich and all this stuff. I was just like, Billy Ray is the way. So I saw on Roni.
That rhymes, actually.
He's the way. I mean, he should run for president. I was deeply inspired by him, or start a mega church like Kanye. But I was watching Roni, obviously, and Martin was just really inspiring for Tinsley. He inspired her to, you know, go follow love and find her man, and she left and went to Chicago. But all the stuff he was saying was great. And so then I started watching his cameos on the Cameo app. He's on there. And I was just imagining that he was giving the advice to me, all the advice that he was giving to people for like $40. I was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. He's all like, you're a legend. You're a legend. And don't let anybody tell you different. He's super New Yorker. I can't really even do his accent, but everything he was saying, I was just like, I'm very much here for this advice. So I reached out to him and was like, hey, do you want to do an interview? And he just talked our ears off for like an hour, giving us all the best advice, the best advice. And I left and I was like, I feel so inspired. So I would definitely take his boxing classes. They have a place in LA. And yeah, he said he's going to text me when he's here and we're going to do some boxing. And I'm like, absolutely. I will give you all of my money. I will go into bankruptcy for that man. I think that he's truly a vision. Look up.
Oh God, Jane making these statements again. I will go into bankruptcy for this man. Oh, I love it. I love that so much. Speaking of Roni, Leah posted a picture of like apparently her new boo who's 25 on Instagram. Yeah, apparently she has a new boo, this photographer guy. And everyone's kind of coming for her and she's defending it and being like, men always date younger women and no one cares. Like, why can't I date someone younger? Have you dated someone younger? I'm curious.
What do you I think actually haven't, but I absolutely would. I absolutely would. Especially like giving them a few more years, you know what I mean? I feel like I definitely would date a younger guy. I think it all just depends, but I do get weary of when men are matching with me on Hinge and I can't even call them men. They're like 19 years old. I'm like, how are you even in my settings to match with me? It's like these kids that I'm like, what is, I mean, none of them are 18 or under. They're all like 19 and up, but I'm like, how did you even find me? But I think there's a market for that.
I think 21 and over. Yeah. 21 and over for me. I think I've dated 19 when I was like 28 and I was like, this is, We're like in a different generation.
I know. I think currently 23 is like the youngest I would go, but only probably if I met them in real life and could sense their vibe. But even then I'm like, oh, this person's such a catch. Give them a few more years. Like, I feel like 25 is like a good age for dating a younger man.
Totally.
Yeah. But I absolutely would.
Absolutely.
And I'm very much here for that for her, especially because of her journey with Rob. Like, I feel like she just needs to branch out a little bit more and be dating and having fun. So, I mean, I could totally see her with a younger guy. And I think it's a vibe.
Right. I see it too. I see it too. And like her style and just her energy, like, it kind of works, and she's not like the type to be like a sugar mama or fall for that bullshit.
Right. And I also feel like, just in general, there's so many people who start dating like right after college and get together. And then, you know, by the time they're in mid to late 20s, they're getting engaged and they're getting married or whatever. So who's to say that a 23, 25 year old isn't looking for something serious with an older woman, you know?
True. It's true. It's all the energy. And I love that you said that, because I think it is a lot of it has a lot to do with energy. Absolutely. Before I let you go, I need to play a game with you. So if you're going on a deserted island, who are you taking? Any celebrities?
Celebrities.
And who are you leaving behind? I want to take and leave. Take and leave.
Okay. So I would bring Chrissy Teigen because she would be so funny and she would cook things for me. And I saw that she and John and their kids once did a camp out outside. So I feel like she would know how to have her people pitch a tent, and we would need that. So I would take Chrissy Teigen and her team.
I love that the team is coming. That's going to make your life a lot
easier.
Yeah,
her glam team and whoever else, so that we would look really good on the deserted island.
Smart.
So them... I mean,
I'm laughing because everyone I've asked has never said bring the team. They're always just like, they never thought to bring the team. That's smart.
Bring the team, because those people have already been vetted by Chrissy to being very worthwhile, helpful, and just a joy to be around. You know, if you're an assistant for a celebrity, like, you definitely passed the airport test, as they say, of like interviewing someone. True. Would you want to be caught in an elevator with them or in the airport? So yeah, they've obviously passed all that and they're doing great.
I love that.
Who else should I bring? Martin. Bring Martin. Oh my God. He teach me how
to
fight and just spear a bunch of fish for us. I wouldn't be vegetarian anymore if I was on this island. I would be very, I would be climbing trees for our coconuts and...
Jane, I want to ask you about quarantine dating. Like, what was that? What is that like? Obviously, being on Hinge, a lot of people are back on dating apps. What is that like?
Yeah, I mean, so you and I were both quarantining at our respective households in Chicago and Orange County. Mm-hmm. So dating for me was non-existent for that entire time because it was just long walks at midnight with my mother and some chamomile tea. Mm-hmm. So it was not eventful in that sense. But it is interesting the amount of people who are kind of in your orbit, who come just out of the woodwork, DMing and things like that, out of a somewhat of a necessity, it seems. So coming back to LA, I feel like, you know, the apps are really popping off right now, and it's just a matter of what your moral compass is guiding you towards.
Interesting.
But everything is shutting down again. Everything is shutting down again. So I don't know if people are going to again stop hanging out or whatever, but I do feel like a lot of people have kind of been like testing the waters lately. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why there's giant spikes in LA. So I don't know, man.
I get it.
Just
I mean,
don't know.
It's tough. I'm with my parents as well. And it's, you know, it's, you get the horn sometimes, you know? So I feel that. But the way
you get horned up.
You get horned up. You do. You absolutely do.
And you're holed up. You're holed up. And it's just like.
You're horned up and you're holed up. And that's why I, like you, go on walks with my family and, you know, are getting quarantine haircuts. People are dyeing their hair. Now I understand why everyone was dyeing their hair different colors. It seems kind of fun.
Yeah, people are getting bangs. People are really going for a new look. I'm going for the look of burnt marshmallow right now. That is my vibe. I got back to LA and everyone's like throwing these beach parties because that's the only thing that we can do. Right. And I hopped straight off the plane from Chicago, having eaten all of this cheese and being holed up inside. Mm-hmm. And now I'm forced to go to the beach and I'm just getting burnt and toasted. And I feel like a burnt marshmallow.
That's a great name. I love that. Burnt marshmallow. That's hilarious. But, you know,
I was back to teaching at the yoga studio and now the yoga studio is closed. I was like really getting back on my groove and like starting to feel good again. Mm-hmm. And now everything's closed down. So we'll see how it goes. I'll just be hiking and doing neighborhood walks and whatever else and probably just go to tanning beds or something, which I haven't done since high school, but desperate times.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. I get it. Thank you so much, Jane Johnson, for being on the show. We talked Epstein, we talked Kardashians, Kanye running for president, and of course, the amazing comedy show and roasting battles that you're a part of. If you all want to follow Jane Johnson, it's JaneJohnsen on Instagram and Twitter. Go follow her. It was so fun to have her on the show. And thank you for being here for the Take On for the Broadway Podcast Network. I'm Amira. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/The Take On. And of course, on my Instagram at Amir Yass Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.